Commercial Vehicle Enforcement Division. Lieutenant Morris, how are you?
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Tell me what you do at the Commercial Vehicle Enforcement Division.
Well, Commercial Vehicle Enforcement Division, the primary focus, obviously, is commercial vehicle enforcement, and that will be from small commercial vehicles all the way up to larger commercial motor vehicles, such as tractor-trailer combinations and your large over-the-road trucks you see.
Now, those cars that I see with that special sticker on the side of their car, can they pull over regular folks who are breaking the law?
They can in limited circumstances, yes.
Okay. And
we do enforce things such as drunk driving, drug driving, and other infractions of the law.
All right. When you're watching these commercial vehicles, what are the most common infractions you see?
Well, depending on our focus of that day, some of the common infractions that we screen for are moving violations, and those would be things such as speed, following too close, improper lane use, and things of that nature. In addition to that, though, we're also screening for equipment problems and load securement issues.
Tell us about this effort, the North American Commercial Vehicle Enforcement Operation.
Well, yes, that has been around for quite some time. It started in the late 80s. We have been involved with it since the early 90s. It's sponsored every year by the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance, CVSA. And really the emphasis behind it is level one inspections. There are several inspections that are done on commercial motor vehicles. They range from a 1, 2, or 3, the 1 being the most stringent of inspections. That is where the officer, when they stop and screen a vehicle, they will not only check the driver credentials, they will check the load securement, but they will also go under the vehicle and check brake components, steering components, and suspension components for safety.
And more than 10,000 of these officers in the United States, Canada, and Mexico will be taking part in this, and I would imagine, being a border state, we have extra concern for that.
Absolutely. Not only do we have interstate traffic coming from our adjacent states, we also have international border crossing with Canada. So we deal with both Canadian, of course, American-based traffic flowing to and from Canada as well as our outlying states.
Tell us about driver fatigue. How big a problem is that with commercial vehicle drivers?
Well, it can be a problem, and there have been issues with it in the past, and there has been several changes to that law. But ultimately what we look for is, do they have a record of duty status? Has it been maintained? Are they fatigued? Sometimes you can visually see a driver's fatigue just through the conversation with the driver, and there are repercussions for that, such as out of service and other things that can happen to that driver and or company. But it does play a large role, especially when you're driving a vehicle that averages between 80,000 and 160,000 pounds.
Since its inception in 1988, the roadside inspections conducted during road check have numbered over 1 million, resulting in what you think are more than 220 lives saved and more than 4,000 injuries avoided. That's good stuff.
Well, it's just a proactive approach. If you can catch the violations before they become a significant issue, such as brake systems, other things that could cause crashes, then that proactive approach, I think, results in those lives saved.
How often do we as citizens driving out on the roads help you when we see anything? Do you get enough help from citizens?
Actually, we do get a significant number of call-ins from citizens as it pertains to the large trucks, especially if they're driving erratic and or impeding traffic in some form or fashion. There's always going to be the difference between speed variations between large trucks and small passenger vehicles, and they just have to kind of commingle together. But for the most part, I think drivers have been pretty well educated on driving in and around trucks, and the trucking community also is very aware of the differences and is also very aware, cautious of passenger vehicles. So I think the combination of the two have really resulted in a safer environment.
All right, before I let you go, let's say our producer, James, is going to be the driver of a tractor-trailer, and he has no experience. What's he got to do to be able to get behind the wheel and drive a commercial vehicle on the roads in Michigan?
Well, depending on the size of the vehicle and what he's going to be hauling, he may have to have a CDL Class A, B, or C, and the appropriate endorsements to go with that, such as somebody hauling hazardous material would have to have an H endorsement in addition to their proper CDL. So there are testing levels and other levels that have to be done both with a written and a practical examination before you can just simply get behind a commercial motor vehicle and drive.
And do we see a lot of hazardous type materials on the roads in Michigan?
Yes, we do. With international border crossings from Canada and of course, Michigan being a highly industrialized state, we have a lot of hazardous material loads that go through here, both in bulk and non-bulk form. So it is something that we deal with on a daily basis. Our officers are very well trained and equipped to do that. So for the most part, we do a very good job with that.
All right, Lieutenant Patrick Morris is with the Michigan State Police Commercial Vehicle Enforcement Division. We've been talking about a special operation. It's called Road Trek 2012. That'll run June 5th through the 7th. More than 10,000 federal, state, and local inspectors from the United States, Canada, and Mexico will be taking part. And if folks ever want to call in with a concern, where do they do that, Lieutenant Morris?
Well, if they want to call in with a concern, they would simply call our division headquarters. You can call that, or you can call our individual districts. So there are places out there where people can call. Those lines are available, and you can also call your local state police post.
All right. Thanks so much. So we've got to get to break on 1320 WILS.
Okay. Thank you.